Perfect. Wow.
That was a really good one.
That was pretty good. All right.
I want to make a disclaimer this episode. Eldon's mic does not actually work. He's on a lavalier microphone.
But I'm gonna pretend it's my mic. Like I'm gonna pretend it's my mic.
You're still gonna pretend it's your mic.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk into it like, because I keep forgetting.
Gotta sell the effect.
Oh my god, we are all film majors.
So yeah, a lavalier mic is one that you would put on for an interview for a documentary of sorts.
Or corporate video or whatever.
Basically, it's a mini mic that's wireless, usually, and it's hidden. So it's more appealing. So you're not just holding a giant microphone to your face. That's what I meant.
Or putting a giant one on the camera that's far away from the subject.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Today, we're going to talk about Q-Set that we talked about in the last episode. It's been a while since that first episode.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of things have happened.
A lot of things.
My laptop is covered in vinegar. And
wait, what happened to
Eldon
that?
Eldon got a haircut, and Eduardo's
update?
About to have a mental breakdown. So,
no mental breakdowns.
What happened to your laptop? Why is it covered in vinegar?
Oh, yeah. Funny story. I was trying to clean the screen on my laptop and
with vinegar. What?
With vinegar,
what?
Which you can use.
Whoa.
To
in
be
DIY.
Small doses.
In no,
small
you have to mix it
with
water.
Distilled water.
Yeah.
This spray bottle, which I thought was like lens cleaner or something.
Because it was labeled, wasn't it?
It was not. Was it labeled?
The label said glass cleaner.
Yeah. Okay,
I think
yeah.
We assumed that it was
what it
that's
said.
What it was because everything around it was just like cleaning products.
Right.
So why would it be
is
filled
it
with
glass
vinegar?
Cleaner? It didn't say screen cleaner.
I don't know.
Say glass.
No, I think Nolan.
What?
You told me it was I could clean my laptop.
Yeah, Nolan.
I do take partial responsibility.
No, I don't blame you, but it seemed like it was.
Yes, on the bottle it said you can use it to clean glass. So I was like, "Oh, hey, Q, let's use this." To be fair, we shouldn't have sprayed it right on the screen.
Oh, we should
have sprayed
it,
on a towel first. Mm-hmm. We didn't realize it was straight vinegar.
And a lot came out.
A lot.
It was like, what?
Are you guys used to that? I'm used to a lot of things coming out.
Pouring out.
Just everywhere.
Puddles.
Absolute puddles.
And
men.
Now my laptop is with Apple. So
I walked in and half his screen was black. The other half was...
And then at one point, it just stopped displaying
just
entirely.
Just stopped pulling through.
Yeah, it smelled
gone
really
now.
Bad. Good times. Good times.
Now I'm sad. Got to go to KCR to do my work.
Can you do your work without your laptop, though?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
Don't
I mean,
you
have
I
have
a
to.
KCR.
No,
I come
he needs
I've
like
been coming
a,
here.
He needs a computer.
Oh,
because if you guys don't remember.
Sorry, I keep getting KCR and KPBS mixed up in my head because I'm not there.
The K is a misleading.
If you guys don't remember,
letter.
Q's actually an editor, and an editor without his computer is like
are you
a.
An editor?
Am I?
A car without its engine.
Wow.
I thought you were
a mother
Robert.
Without her child.
Analogy.
An angel without its wings.
That's a bar.
Q's a.
Absolute bars.
Yeah. Not a rapper.
So now Q has to wait a little bit. To edit. Well, he can still come to KCR and use the computers to edit. However, he can't do it from the privacy of his own home where
it's
he likes to
nice
be.
It's actually nice here, though. Because time I've come here, there's no one here.
Yeah.
This place is
like,
absolutely
yeah,
great.
I come
hey,
in
I mean,
here, I turn on the lights, and then...
Imagine you did that before your set.
Let me
like,
talk about this area. What's outside this podcast room studio. There's two iMacs, you know, some very aesthetic desks and some lamps. There's a projector, free printing, mini fridge, coffee machine, couch.
We have
piano.
A pretty good.
There's a
we
button
have a
maker.
Piano, dude. There's a button.
Q was like, we should make some buttons for a show.
Oh, yeah. And so because it's like a lounge area outside, if you guys hear any like loud noises coming from outside, they're having like a...
People are lounging.
Movie
lounging,
night.
Like a movie night.
Tonight's
yeah.
selection?
Oh.
Halloween.
Oh.
I wish they weren't watching Halloween. I chose a different film. I chose whatever you chose.
What did I choose? Oh, I chose The Thing.
Yeah, I
wanted
to watch The
Thing.
Would
have been so good.
Have you seen The Thing?
Yeah.
So good.
That's a great film.
Okay.
Eduardo has two copies, and it took him like 3 months to watch it.
Two copies?
He was just trying to decide, which Blu-ray do I watch? Which one? Fuck.
I had the director's cut as well.
And then so what he did was sandwich both CDs and stick it into the video player.
Thought if you just shove it in, they play at the same time.
They did, actually.
That's how it works.
It's actually a better movie that way.
Well, the disc is all scratchy and blew up.
Best.
Oh, and what happened today, Eduardo? What happened today? Tell them what happened today.
My neighborhood lit on fire.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, we live in Southern California, where it can't go 5 minutes without it. It can't go 5 minutes without it being in flames. And so it's off of two streets, Fairmount and Montezuma, and there was a ton of fire.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His area got evacuated today.
Yes, it did.
They had like, three helicopters dropping fire and retarded.
You still have a home, or are you homeless now?
I have a home.
You don't have power, though.
Oh, my power went out, too. It's back now, though. My phone's dead. Ish.
Yeah, anyways, what are you doing? But Q set. So my set. That was like, last weekend?
Was it?
Oh, no, two weeks ago. Two weeks ago. Wow, mm-hmm. Already.
Where'd you get this rag?
From the whiteboard. Kind of nice.
Trying to share this rag?
No.
There. There you go.
Shit. You're taking too much space. Okay. There we go.
Nice. Sure. Yeah.
What?
Is done yet? Can I continue?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Cool. Proceed. So, Q was the director slash.
Whoa.
Slash that. Anyways, Q was the director slash writer. Eduardo was the DP, obviously. And Nolan was the
sound mixer and boom up because I.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that
in a second. And I was the AD, obviously, because
the animal
distributor. Yeah. Animal distributor.
That's what
he does, right? He takes a bunch of animals that are on set and like spreads them, balls out, make them sure up, that they're doing all the same ball and thing.
Throw it. So, location. What was the location?
Oh, it's a B&B that I found.
Airbnb
for free. Airbnb.
It was an Airbnb.
Very reasonable prices. Didn't hardly cost anything.
It was a nice house. It was like
f***ing steel.
Was it the biggest house we filmed in?
Huh?
No. I mean, I think Aaron's house is bigger.
Oh, that's true.
Aaron's house was the house I originally wanted.
He wrote it based on Aaron's house.
Are you serious?
Oh my God, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Have you seen? Have you
I wasn't there, no.
It's amazing.
It's a beautiful abode.
It's so beautiful.
But what happened? Oh, and so it was a 3-day shoot. Wow. I'm gonna tell the audience what was the shooting time, the production time. Oh, it's 42 hours for 3 days. 42 hours.
That can't be true.
No, it was entirely true, dude.
I think 42? It went. That was generous. Yep. I counted every day.
All crew, actors, department heads, or?
That's department heads. I just counted when I got there. For the most part, like give or take crew, like general crew, they probably did around 39 hours, above 36 at least hours. But department heads, we were there 42 hours this weekend at least.
We had a pretty packed weekend.
Yeah.
We lost like 2 or 3 hours each day because there's like one disaster after another happening. Just like one major one each day.
So
we sound kind of hypocritical because the last time we talked, it's like a bunch of problem solving.
Hey, but we got it done. Mm-hmm. But there was problem solving.
That doesn't mean there weren't any problems. Like we had to work around that schedule because even if we had that time, there's just too many shots to go through. And I was
many shots.
You know, on paper, it seemed like a good idea. But then when you actually have to do it, it's like.
Let me tell you guys, for the third day. We had, what was it? One scene had over 20 shots planned.
Is this the foot massage?
That was the foot massage scene. 21 shots, Q. But it's fine. We got it done.
When
it
you see
out.
It, you're going to you're gonna eat those words.
Oh, no.
You're going to say,
look, I think it would have worked, definitely. We could have kept everything if we had just one more day. If we had one more day, I wouldn't have to have to. What am I saying? I didn't have to cut anything. Like, I didn't want to.
Shout out Jackie Chan's Adventures.
Bad day. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
But, so again, part of my job as AD is to keep everyone on schedule. And like if an AD wasn't there, then like the film wouldn't have finished. So we had to keep
actually,
things going.
Technically, the film isn't finished.
Oh, that's right. Because I had to. We had to move one scene to another day.
Is it one scene or two?
It's two scenes, but in the same
room. One location, like two or three scenes.
Yeah.
Very small.
Very small.
No, it's two. It's two. I mean, I guess you guys can split up in three, but what you guys wrote.
But we're not done shooting is the point.
So first day, the check-in time for this B&B was 4 p.m. And then
we had to wait like 2 hours because we were basically trying to sneak around.
Which was planned. It was planned.
Yeah, and then she all of a sudden just like, she said she wouldn't be there, and then.
No. She said, okay, so originally it was planned that the owner was gonna come and visit us and I guess check in on us before we actually unpack and everything like that.
No. When we got there, she wasn't there. And she said she was going to be.
And then she said she was going to be there around 6.
Yeah, so we got there, and then like 30 minutes after we were there, she just texts us and says that she's going to be there like 2 hours later.
Here's some context. We can't have people start loading equipment in when she was, you know.
Disclaimer, like,
because she didn't know that we were shooting something there.
A lot of Airbnb houses don't allow parties or events or anything like that. And I mean, a film set technically
this
counts
was
as
both
an event.
A party and an event.
Yes. Yes, it was. He's right.
Oh yeah, we were going crazy with the booze and the smoking and shit.
Yeah, but then I mean, we just like we didn't want to risk it, you know, getting kicked off set and then or kicked off the property and then not be able to shoot. So we were like, hey, you know what? We had the general crew like hide out in the car, like don't come in until she leaves. And then like we waited until seven, and then she texted our producer and was like, hey, I'm not gonna be here today. And we're like, oh my God. Okay, so let's start loading equipment. We actually got the equipment into the house. We had so much equipment. We had 4 or 5 cars worth of equipment filled with equipment.
Nice.
Okay. But we got in. We were already an hour behind schedule. No, technically we were 3 hours behind schedule.
Yeah.
Because, originally I had a plan that we were going to meet with her and then we were going to get everything set up. And then first shot would go up at around 6:30 p.m.
Yeah.
We didn't start shooting until 9:30 p.m.
How behind were we that day?
3 hours. 3 hours behind.
By the end of it?
By the end of it, we were 4 hours behind.
Which to normal people, 3 hours doesn't really sound that long. But the problem is when you're on a film set and you can be as efficient as you can
be.
You
get so much done in 3 hours.
Exactly.
Or you can.
Yeah.
So that's bad.
No, you absolutely can get a ton done in 3.5 hours, 4 hours. Especially if you have a crew that can like actually roll with the punches, you know, they don't even have to necessarily be a good crew. As long as you get like department heads that know what they're doing and you have kids that are willing to work and stuff like that, I think
Ryan,
you can do a whole ton
our
of 3 hours.
Grip.
Which we did. I had an amazing crew. Everyone,
hey,
even
thanks.
The PAs. No complaining.
There's only one.
We had to fire one individual on the second day.
So basically everyone that hadn't been a part of our group did amazing, which was very helpful because we were so far behind the entire time. And even when they, a lot of them didn't know what, this was their first time on actual set because they're either new into the program or new to the school. And I'm very proud of them and my crew.
A lot of the productivity or the efficiency goes to our
cool.
gaffer,
Barry.
Cody Griffin, and our key grip, Ryan Dang. Ryan was phenomenal that weekend, dude.
Yeah,
he was like, he was not once did I see him sitting down other than lunch. He was like, he was literally falling asleep with his eyes open. I'm not kidding.
He told us. He was like,
on the
I was
third
all
day,
asleep with my eyes open, guys.
On the third day, he sat on the couch and he was just staring off into the distance. And I was like, hey, you good, bro? You need water, snacks, or anything? And he's like, oh, so I was just resting my eyes. I was like, dude, your eyes are open. He's like, wait, what? I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, like we had, oh man, crazy amounts of equipment that we had to bring upstairs, downstairs, back upstairs, downstairs. I mean, on all 3 days, obviously, we didn't shoot, you know, downstairs, then come back upstairs and downstairs. But I, for the most part, like the first day, the only problems that we ran into was
it was just when the lady
yeah.
cut out like 2 or 3 hours of our time because we had to wait for her. But other than that, we got moving.
I mean, yeah. they also showed up on day two and went to their garage and started sawing yeah. stuff.
Oh, and we had electrical problems.
Because he was using so much power.
No, it wasn't. No. They had electrical problems before we got there. I talked to the owner, and they said that the lights were flickering. Like, oh, if you guys see any lights flickering or anything, that's because we have some electrical issues happening in the house right now. And so she was like, oh, I'm trying to get my husband to fix it. She didn't tell us that before we moved in. Imagine we blew out, like, the entire house, like, fried all the wires.
I'm surprised we didn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're using some hefty lights.
I'm just trying to figure out what the husband was working on.
That was a power saw that was down the neighborhood.
He was working in the RV. No. That was down the street.
That was down the street.
Yeah, the power saw was down the street. There were no power saws being used in the house.
Yeah.
So the husband in the house layout on the side yard, there was an RV that was parked. It was plugged into the house. I assume it was plugged into the garage because it was going under the door that led into the garage, which we didn't have access to. And the RV had a plug going from either the inside of the RV or it might have been the outside where like you could charge it up or at least have it powered up. But it was going into the garage and we were like, oh, well, we can't really mess around with anything. So we went out to the breakers and I was with Cody, our gaffer, and I said, hey, we have this much amperage that we could use if we turn off these certain rooms. And thankfully, at least a few of the rooms, the ones that actually mattered, they actually had labels on them. So the laundry room was labeled, and we could pull like 70 amps from that. That's a lot. And then there was another room that had 30 amps. So we had 100 amps to work with, and that worked out really well because we had a 2K light. We had a 2K light that was set up in the backyard, and we had to daisy chain that, which that was crazy. I hated doing that. We did it.
What's daisy chaining?
Daisy chaining is when you take two extension cords and you plug them into each other. But because of what we were filming and like what we could see in the frame and because of where the room was that we could plug into, we had to daisy chain it all the way around the house, like around the side yard,
the laundry the room into. Yeah, we plugged it into the laundry room because that's where we turned off the 70 amps. And then we had it going into the bathroom, up the bathtub, through the little window, through the bathtub, all the way to the back side of the backyard, all the way around to where the light was set up in the backyard.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I think it was two extension cords. It wasn't that long. But when you're dealing with something that's got 2,000 watts of wattage going into it, that was kind of scary. I was like, it's either going to break the breaker or it's going to break the light.
And so for you guys that don't know, like, if you're messing with a light that draws that much power, make sure that, you know, one, safety obviously, and two, you know what you're doing. You want a gaffer who understands electricity and that you guys aren't pulling too much power because you guys will fry the fuse and fry the wires, and also that you guys use the proper wiring, because like a regular Stinger, you can't plug into a 2K or else like that'll just blow up.
I also think that's why LEDs are so popular now with people who don't know what they're doing. No, LEDs are good options nowadays because they don't draw power like at all. And they have a relatively similar output to lights like moles that we use and prefer. But they don't have the same texture look to it, I don't think.
Also,
but
heat.
Good option.
LEDs don't, dude. The 2K, we literally lit a cigarette when it was in the backyard. Yeah, we lit a cigarette. It worked. I was joking, and then me and Cody went to the backyard and we just pressed it against the light, and the cigarette lit. It was that hot. But luckily, it was outside. I mean, you don't want a 2K inside. You never use like anything bigger than a 1K indoors, right? I mean, well,
unless you want it to be like
obviously it's just more dangerous. But
there was one time, this is a little off track, but there was one set that I did and they wanted to simulate moonlight with a 1K, but it was from the second story because they were filming in a bedroom on the second story, and this is insanely dangerous. I don't advise any of you do this, but what they did was they took a compound stand and took a bunch of mounting arms like from a mounting kit. And they extended it another 3 feet. And so there was just a 1K waving up in the air, like waving up in the wind.
Mole?
Yeah, a mole. And it was daisy chained all the way down, and it was up about 30 feet. And they told one of the grips to go sit outside in 30 degree weather, because it was during December in San Diego, and when you start going a little bit more south, it starts to get a little bit colder.
Project here?
Yeah, it was a project for SDSU.
What year? What semester?
560? It was before you were here.
560?
It was a 560.
Who did it?
Taya.
Oh, no.
I was sick, and they were like, hey, Nolan, can you go sit outside with it? I said, sure. I brought a down jacket, and I was sitting outside in 30 degree weather. I was still cold as shit. And I'm just watching to make sure that the 1K doesn't fall.
I mean, honestly, what would you do, though? If the 1K literally started tipping over.
No, like, you at least got to grab the stand. Got to grab the stand. If the light breaks, the light breaks. If the stand falls and hits the side of the house, or it falls into the other neighbor's yard, that's an even bigger problem.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they shouldn't have done that in the first place. There's a lot of different ways they could have done that other than having a freaking 1K
light.
We get
the light.
We placed a light on the top of an RV that was
in the side.
Yeah, do it the right way.
Yeah.
We did do
climb someone else's property illegally.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. Don't do that.
Also, another fun thing that we did, we had to simulate lightning.
Oh, that was so cool.
I think this is one of my favorite projects thus far, especially with lighting.
Yeah.
We had a lot of equipment, as Eldon mentioned. But it's because we got like every light from Checo, and we put every single one to use. Like,
you did a
fucking
lot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He recreated daylight.
He really did.
We did one day for night scene, which is basically, I mean, it's what it means. We simulated daylight during the night, like a day scene during the night. That was insane. You guys had a Dracast outside. You guys had a sky panel outside.
Dracast and the L7C. Maybe the sky panel?
No, we did have the sky panel outside in the front yard.
Three of our brightest lights just punching into the window. And then you had one 1K on the other side of the house, bleeding light throughout everywhere. So it looked like it was daylight. It was insane. That looked really freaking good. Like, kudos to Cody and DP Eduardo.
So for those of you who want to know, you can get daylight while it's nighttime outside.
But don't bother the neighbors. We were shooting.
It was like a controlled pocket.
Yeah.
So it would have been much harder to do if we had a... cover the entire room.
You know, we were shooting like a 2K straight into some child's room who has special needs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was like
the neighbors came next door.
She was really nice about it too.
The neighbors came over to our house and knocked on our door. We were like, "Who is this?" And she said, "I'm the neighbor next door." And they were complaining about us
the night before. They took pictures.
Oh, yeah, just a little too loud.
Yeah.
So we tried to contain the volume, but the biggest thing was the light. She had a child that couldn't fall asleep next door. And our light, to be fair, we had tried to block it off, but also on her fart, she...
Her fart? I heard that too.
On her part, the light was bleeding into her kid's room. So I think we had Cody go out and talk to her, or someone went out and
It was just like we had tarps all the way around. Like we definitely tried to control it, but it was just like a part of the tarp was like separated a little bit, so the light was bleeding into her room. Cody literally went outside, grabbed a clip or a clamp, and then just
boom. No, but he still talked to her for like a solid 10 minutes because she just kept
complaining. She really wanted us to turn it off, yeah. Because the day before, I mean, as filmmakers, you're going to deal with these things all the time. I mean, we don't have the biggest budget where we can just get, like, you know, Hollywood set where we can do whatever the hell we want. So if you always deal with this, I mean, just be nice, be courteous kind of thing.
Be courtois. Or courtois.
What does that mean?
This is just a fun way to say courteous.
Courtois.
Courtois.
Do you have chivalry, sir?
Not everyone's like signed up for the film set. We have to remember that we're always in public places, even if you're in private property. You have to understand that, you know, like, so you can't have like crew running around the backyard screaming, which didn't happen. It's just
but the amount of quiet on sets that happened,
that's a big
Mr.
issue,
AD, man.
Oh man that was very frustrating.
You're so mean.
That's my job. You gave me this job.
You were so loud, Q. You were one of the loudest people.
Was that
Q? No way.
Yeah, dude.
No.
You're
was
talking
he?
To the sound guy. Yes, Q was loud as hell.
Oh, me?
That's funny. Oh, wait, that's because he was calling out Q's the entire time.
Ryan? Yeah.
This is funny.
I said
Ryan.
Lightning.
No, you said Ryan.
And then
Ryan, big one.
And I said Lightning.
Give me a big one.
Oh, Ryan was outside with the switchboard to the light.
So we have to describe the setup that they had. So the shot was on the second floor or on the second story.
Had the light mounted on. Actually, no.
No, that one was on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. We had it on the floor, and then we had a 6x6 leaning against
the RV,
the wall of the house.
Yeah.
From the RV.
Was that sanded off?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But it was creating like a 90 degree angle. So the light was like coming into the window and it looked great.
It looked really good because it was really diffused, but it was also still really punchy, like the way lightning is supposed to be. And the light comes with a control dimmer on it. And what that control dimmer allows you to do is you can tell it how much light it outputs and how much it keeps in. And so he was just going through and
going crazy. The one upstairs, they had the actual control box with preset settings.
No, not the Drake house. No, not that was the one that I was on.
Murder scene.
No, the murder
scene. Oh, the murder scene. Oh, that's my bad.
The Drake house, though, which is, or not the Drake house, the sky panel has a controller on it. Yeah. So there's a light called a sky panel. They make one that's got 50 cells, and then they make another one that's got 100 cells. That one's massive. It's big. But the one that we have, it has a control box on it, and you can do different settings on it. There's a lot of different settings on it. Like, you can do police bars. You can do lightning. You can do weather effects on it that aren't just lightning. And if you just figure out and, like, check it by eye, you can kind of play around with it. And the only problem that I have with it is you can't really control it, like, how you want. Like, you can't just press a button and have it, like, do a little flash of lightning.
It's so systematic.
It
looked good at some point. I just told Ryan, like, it's too consistent, so to just, like, change it up.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. But I think in a shoot like this, it kind of helps that it is systematic a little bit, because like there is a lot of timing and cues that have to hit on the same on a proper mark.
No, I think for that reason, that's why I had to call it off, because I was so choreographed to like the shots that I had planned out.
Right.
But
We also had to sync it up every time because we were getting different angles. We needed the lightning to be hitting on the same cues and stuff.
Yeah, so one of the shots that we had was from the back or toward the back of the house near the backyard, which was the Jerry cast I was on, and the camera walked through to the front of the house, and we had to sync up the lightning because there was two different lights doing two different lightnings. And so I would stop at one point, and then Cody at one point started saying Ryan. It was about halfway.
I think
it was around a corner.
I think that scene right there as the AD was the most frustrating for me. Because it's like, I didn't blame it though. Yes,
that set us back that first.
Because
day. Wait, when did we shoot that? I don't remember.
We had a dolly, but we didn't have a dolly that tracked throughout the house.
We tried to get that shot like four different ways.
Yeah, because they needed to like smooth. We didn't have a steady cam either.
Skateboard, rolling chair.
We had at least seven different.
Dude, you guys had like apple boxes on a piece of carpet. With the sticks on the apple boxes. Yeah, it was way too heavy for that. And then, I don't blame them. They wanted to get the shot, and it's like, we're not going to just settle for less kind of thing. But that took like an hour to figure out. Then you guys decided to just go
ahead. No more.
No, dude. Okay, yeah, it was like a long time.
Yeah. So we talked about the lights that we used.
Oh, I have a question.
Oh.
What was it like shooting something so like underexposed or like in such low light? Because
pretty cool.
Yeah, was it scary?
Yes, very much.
Like, okay, so I get that the cameras that we used were like very professional cameras and, you know, cine cameras, but like for those that don't understand shooting something in that low light, how'd you get rid of the grain? How'd you minimize the grain?
Well, we stayed in the native ISO of the cameras. We weren't risking grain too much throughout the whole process. But basically, and my professor emphasizes this a lot, you know, use a damn light meter. We're able to get accurate readings, and we were just underexposing by like half a stop.
Yeah.
Full stop, but...
Because you'd never shot anything quite like that before, had you?
I've never shot anything that dark, both like thematically as well as like just like camera wise.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It was wild. But I mean, it worked out. I haven't seen the finished product yet, but just watching the whole process. The trailer? I have not seen. There's a trailer.
Are you okay if I upload soon. That?
Is it done?
It's not done, no, yet. It's not done yet.
Not that trailer. The joking trailer.
No, it's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
No, that was something I made in like...
Should we make an
actual... Wait.
Can we make an actual trailer?
I'm going to make an actual one after this weekend.
Yes. But honestly, like, even though everyone was tired as hell, like, literally, like, we shot more than 12 hours a day. But crew morale, honestly, though, it's pretty good.
I mean,
for the most
surprised.
Part.
I would have...
Yeah, that...
Yeah.
Nah.
The crew was very game for the considerable challenges we had.
They liked your idea. That's all it was. They liked your idea. And they believed in you.
And then, we were all, like... We're all friends, and then most of us on set, you know, we all knew each other, and we knew how dedicated Q was to this project and how much that we wanted to make this. And
I don't know anymore.
But I was actually really surprised. No one, like, I mean, we had one person who kind of just gave up the second day.
So I think the problem with him, with this specific person, was he was trying to help out more than what his position would be, which... That's a little problematic too, because if you're a kid starting out on film shoots, you can stay in your lane, try and stay in your lane as much as you can. But also, it is nice to help, and it is nice to get help. But just try and stay in your lane and realize what type of position you have. So after,
especially considering how crunched on time.
Oh yeah,
like we
can't
have any.
The thing is, I had a big issue with him while we were like trying to set up for the next shot. He would jump into the room and then he would... Okay, so basically the issue that we had, he wasn't a department head. And he would talk to Q about how he should set up the shot and like how he should direct the film. I think that's the biggest issue with a lot of filmmakers is like everyone wants to learn. Everyone wants to do, you know, try different positions. But there's a time and a place for that. You have to learn from others before you... If you feel like there's like a suggestion, ask someone, talk to someone, you know, and say, hey, maybe this might work out. But, you know, sometimes if you're on a professional set, you're not going to just walk up to the director and start directing like a real actress, you know. You're not going to start directing like an A-list actress or actor. Like, that's just not how it works. You have to stay in your lane. It's not, we're not shooting on mommy's camcorder anymore. This is like, we're trying here, you know.
A lot of people... step out of line.
Yes, and it happens
very important to stay in line with your job, because if you don't stay in line with your job, you're going to piss off a lot of people. You're going to slow down the process. It's not going to be efficient. Just stay as far in your lane as you possibly can, and if you think that you can help out, if you have a minute to go help out, ask someone who you can help out, and that someone would be the assistant director. You can ask the producer. Do not talk to the director. Do not talk to the DP. You can talk to the key grip. You can talk to sound, maybe.
Best boy.
Best boy, yeah.
You can talk to best boy.
You can talk to your department head. If your department head is... Yeah, you can talk to your department head if they're not busy.
I think it's just getting in the way of
the
schedule is the most important thing. It's not like you can't communicate with people.
But yeah, I think that's the biggest issue we have with other filmmakers, not just specifically at State, but you know everywhere else, is like a lot of people they have an ego, you know, which is fine.
It's fine if you're good.
Well, yeah, no, not just that. Like it means that you can take criticism well. It means that you can you can take criticism well.
Oh. Some spooky shit going on in the hallways out here.
Is that Q? Is Q okay?
He just took a massive dump.
All right, right outside in the hallway.
Ow! Sounded like a wolf.
But it's fine if you have an ego. It means you can like take criticism and you know take some hits and be okay at the end of the day. But then when you end up refusing to understand instruction and knowing your place, that's when like literally what happened to this guy. I mean, we fired him. He got fired. He didn't come back because we just couldn't
he
have
or
that.
She, we don't know who it was.
Yeah, you're right. She was fired.
Them was fired.
Them was fired. They was fired. And yeah, I mean, that's just how it went. And the thing is, he's not going to be called on our sets anymore because... I mean,
That yeah.
I mean, he can work on other sets. That's up to him. But just, I mean, in terms of us, he's not coming back.
Just a quick comment. That happened to me my first semester in the film program here with a guy who was in my group, and he has not worked on a single set after that.
What yeah. do you do? What happened?
Dude, word travels. Word travels really yeah. fast in the film industry. That's kind of like what happened with me. I went to work on the musical theater bit. I was supposed to go to an event, and it was during the start of Tech Week, and they said you can't go, and I understood. I was a little upset, but I don't want to get blacklisted, and I also don't want people to not put me on their sets, whether it's theater, film, anything. I want to do as much work as I possibly can without too much detriment to myself.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that, though.
And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, because right now we're being pretty lenient. In the film industry, like, blacklist is a real thing. Like, no one's going to hire you if you don't have experience. I mean, you might be a cable rapper for the rest of your life, but I mean, that's fine if that's what you want to do. But I mean, you're never going to move up the ladder if you don't respect other people.
Not even a grip, just a cable rapper.
Yeah. No, seriously. It's like what I'm trying to say. Like, basically just understand your position, understand where you're at, and then you can grow. Like, it doesn't mean that you can't do these things ever again. People spend, you know, 20, 30 plus years in the industry just to get the chance to make their own thing. And if you just mess up once, you're screwed.
Yeah. There's Q. Q's coming back.
Qasim. Hussein.
All right. Voila, voila. Are you ready to f, dude?
Ready to f.
There's our clip.
All right, there you go. That's our outro.
That should be your thumbnail. Just like, here, get up real quick. Get up real quick.
Alright. 1, 2, 3. No sound?
I don't grunt.
Oh, you know what?
I'm a quiet kind of guy.
Do sound. Oh, wait. 3, 2, 1.
Hi, welcome to Reel to Reel.
That's as real as it gets.
Wait, which reel are we talking about? Like film reel?
Maybe now.
Maybe now. So on the second day, there was like a murder scene and we had to hire a special effects artist. I know. So that also adds on to like know your place kind of thing. She changed the entire schedule because we hired her for an entire day. She got there at 4 p.m., which is when I told her to be
an
there, so she
can
get ready.
The industry is at least 12 hours.
Yeah.
At the very minimum.
At the very minimum.
At the very minimum, 8.
Yeah. And so she got there, and then, I mean,
for that short,
things changed. Things happened, and obviously our schedule got pushed back. And so, I mean, for like 2 hours, she was sitting there not doing anything because she already got everything ready.
She got there kind of early, man.
I know, because originally...
But the point is, she wasn't there for nearly as long as she was supposed to.
Yeah, she was there for 4 hours and said that she needed to go pick up her daughter. Dude, instant blacklist. But we still needed her. We can't just say, okay, leave. We don't need you anymore kind of thing. So we had to move the entire schedule around, the entire shoot schedule around her schedule, which, I mean...
Around her daughter.
Around her daughter.
F*** her daughter, dude. Straight up.
I don't know you, but
straight up.
F*** you,
I hope,
man.
You don't have any friends.
Oh, God, maybe she doesn't. But yeah, so, I mean, if you're... I mean, we're student films. Maybe she felt like that she can do whatever she wants. We paid for it. I don't know.
She gave me an attitude.
Yeah.
Like, I was just stressing out on how to do it logistically. And every suggestion I had or, like, idea...
Are you supposed...
She was just, like, give me a smug smile like I was the stupidest person in the world.
I don't think she was and supposed then, to be talking to you. I don't think she should have been talking to the director at all.
No, definitely not.
She should have been talking to the producer or to the assistant
No,
director.
The only reason she talked to Q was because Q wanted specific effects on his face.
Yeah, I went over to her talk to her, yeah.
And so he didn't even get a lot of time to talk to her. And even then, she was like giving him attitude. It's like, look, we hired you for this day. If you don't want to be here, you didn't need to come. You could have just denied
us. She wasn't prepared.
She wasn't.
She didn't have what she needed.
We
so
needed
we
to go out
and get it for her.
Yep. So again, blacklisted. We're never gonna hire her. She's probably never gonna work for another San Diego State film again. But yeah, I mean, it was a stressful weekend. Make it. Yeah,
I mean, she's like 50 something.
She's working for student films, and if she's acting like that,
she made money. All right,
$250.
That's nothing.
I paid her.
That's nothing for the professional industry.
That's not her day job.
That was a steal.
But like, still, yeah.
I got robbed.
I guess, yeah. But
she was robbed by both the makeup artist and the Airbnb.
Oh my god!
I mean, everyone has to invest something, right?
Hey, buddy.
But I mean, it was a stressful 3 days. But in the end, we got it done. And although we have one more scene to shoot, we got it done. And I felt like it was really good. And then, the first day is always the hardest. Second day is kind of picking it up. And the third day.
What's it?
Yeah.
I felt like it got more stressful.
It was. It went on. For you, definitely, because I kept pushing you. But then, like, we were way more efficient.
That's true.
Way more efficient, especially since we got busier and busier and busier. And when we got it done, we finished, we wrapped, everyone was happy. Everyone was tired as hell and, you know, out, but everyone was happy. We got it done.
I'm still so surprised no one was pissed.
I mean, it was a good crew.
How do you stay happy during that?
That's because our department heads, for sure.
Some kid, well, he's a great person. This is not a bad comment. He's great. His name's Ian. He's super cool. Ian, if you're listening, keep doing you. He came up to us after, I think, day two. And he just, like, he waited, like, 15 minutes for us to finish, like, our conversation. Because we were doing, like, a, you know, department head meeting. He was like, hey, guys. This is, like, my first set ever. Thank you guys so much.
It's been
so,
like that.
I mean, like, super cool experience, man.
You sound like what are the Canadian brothers? You know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Take off, you hoser.
You're Leo.
Take off, you hoser.
I was going
for Leo from that 70s show.
Hey, man.
But yeah, that honestly meant a lot. Like, especially since we were really worried about dragging the time on and pushing the crew to their absolute limit, you know? And yeah, thank you, Ian. That, I mean, our crew, we had a great crew, and they're definitely going to come back besides.
Yeah. If we can.
Most of them.
Most of them, yeah.
Are you happy or happy? Something?
I mean.
Yeah, what is your overall feel?
I like how we worked on set, and I'm very proud of everyone. But, like, you mean in terms of the film? Like, what
just
we
just overall, just how you felt about the production.
I feel good. But I won't really know how it's going to turn out until I start editing because we were so pressed for time.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to fit together, all the pieces.
When do you think you're going to start that edit?
Well, 362 is coming up.
362 is our intermediate filmmaking course. Yeah. It's the one you take right before the senior thesis class. The big project at the end of the semester, which we're currently working on, is a
pre-production for
narrative film.
Yeah. So that's coming up, and that actually has a concrete deadline. So we're going to have to finish doing that film first, and then I'm going to come back to
project. You're not going to, like, try to finish the edit before?
I probably will, like...
In spare time.
Yeah, organize everything and maybe mess around with it to see what I have.
Because this was an independent film. It wasn't for
a class. Yeah, it wasn't for a class or anything, so there's no deadline. So I can just do it at my own pace. But yeah, we have another project coming up, which we're getting ready to do now.
Oh, Q is also, he's writing and directing this one. I think we talked about it last one. This is, he's directing. And then... For this class, I was supposed to also pitch, but because we have, like, limited crew members in the class, like, when you choose a group member in the class, every one of those crew members have to be a department head, and I wanted free reign on choosing who my department heads are, so as a group, we all collectively decided that we were gonna do mine as an independent, just like Q's last set. And we would work on
free reign to, you know, work with whoever you want at whatever time.
Exactly. And there's no deadline. Like, we can do this whenever. But I don't want this to be, like, conflicting with my senior thesis next semester. So obviously it's going to happen within the next 2 to 3 months at least. It's
probably towards the beginning of the semester.
Yeah, I'm shooting for a shoot date in January. So that's like when we start the semester and everything. But yeah, I mean, good luck to us. We got a long couple months ahead of us. We'll see how that's gonna work out. But after that, Nolan, what do you work on this weekend? He was on something this weekend.
This past weekend.
So on, I think it was Friday.
Saturday.
No. I'm going like back to when they asked me.
Oh.
The director. Oh, was it?
Yeah. Okay. That's when I pulled out of it. And that's when I pulled out of it Thursday and had to offer a replacement.
Okay. So, if you guys remember Luke from the last episode, the guy who called us on the phone, director of Baby Girl, he is running around San Diego right now doing a bunch of shoots. Kind of badass, actually. He just did an interview for an editing job. Him and Cody both.
Just got the job.
He did get the job.
Did he really?
Both him and Cody just got hired.
No way.
You guys not know?
I didn't know. Well,
I haven't talked to him since yesterday.
I didn't know both of them got hired at all.
That's crazy.
I found out this morning.
Nice job. Oh, it's a nice job.
Oh, Cody's coming later. Surprise.
Ooh. Tonight?
Yes.
Hell yeah. Maybe we can get him to talk for a second.
I know, he won't be here till like 10 or so.
Maybe we'll have him like do an outro. That'd be fun.
Yo.
But Luke called me and asked me if I could work on a live show with him and a few other people that we've mentioned before, Cody, Ryan,
Jack was on there. Elena was involved. One of my old coworkers, Lyden. Shout out Lyden.
Lyden was the realest on that one. He kept us calm, dude. Yeah. Relatively calm.
Wait, Lyden was there?
Yeah.
I love Lyden. He's so cool. Dude, he lived a floor below me, and I did not know that.
No, like, he literally lived next to you.
Wait, he lived with Dom?
He lived next to Dom.
Oh, like right there. Yeah. Wait, that's right.
Two doors down.
Yeah.
If you go one more, then you're listening to the best band in history.
Who's that? Shameless plug?
No.
Is it a song?
Maybe.
Three Doors Down.
No, Two Doors Down. That's a band.
No way.
Two Doors Down is a band.
Three Doors Down is a band. You kidding me?
Is it Three Doors Down? No, it's Two Doors Down.
I thought it was Two Doors
Down. No, we're thinking Two Door Cinema Club. Wait.
Dude. Kryptonite. Three Doors Down.
Is it Three Doors Down? I used to play this song on Guitar Hero.
Hell yeah.
I play Expert on Guitar Hero.
Expert drums on Rock Band.
Sing it.
It's Three Doors Down, dude. My joke was on par.
I apologize.
Oh my god. We're thinking Two Door Cinema Club.
What is...
Which is a superior
band.
That's
what I was thinking. Two Door Cinema Club. Anyway, good so band. There is this... It's a collective, and they're called Travelers Club. And they were playing at a venue called Soma, which is down here in San Diego. If you guys know where Valley View Casino Center is, where the Gulls play, which is a hockey team.
We have a hockey team?
Yeah, we have a minor league hockey team.
Oh, minor league.
Not a major league.
Pussies.
It's like down the street from there. It's called Soma. And it's basically just a stage and then an entire floor space. And there's just people that can go there and they dance and listen to music. So there, it was like a big collective of a bunch of music groups, and they were all asking to get recorded. And there were two sets of videographers there. There was one group, and then there was our group, and we ran into a bunch of problems at the beginning of it. Lots of stuff that should have been organized in pre-production.
Like administrative stuff.
Huh?
Like administrative stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of stuff that should have been organized in pre-production, but it wasn't. The venue kind of treated us like shit, and Travelers Club didn't... I don't think they were as prepared. I'm not saying that they did a bad job. I just don't think that they were prepared for what was going to happen. I want to say it was like seven artists that performed. It was a mix between artists and DJs. And everything leading up to the event itself was stressful, and it sucked. It was shitty. And then once we actually got to the event and once we were actually filming, everything was fine. I'm going to skip over all the shitty parts because most of this episode's been kind of negative. But
yeah, Eldon.
No, I said it was good. I liked it.
Your presence is negative.
I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. I'm crying.
Once we actually started filming, it was actually a lot of fun. It was just like any live event, but instead of having cameras stabbed off with tripods, we got to move around. So I was a camera operator. I was moving in between like all the artists and stuff like that. And it was interesting, like being in that type of space because it was very loud. And so I even had earplugs in, and my ears still got really messed up after all of it. And I was like standing in front of subwoofers and just having it like push my shirt and stuff like that. Yeah, it was kind of cool. We weren't allowed to go up on the stage. I know Jack went up on the stage.
Wait, you guys weren't allowed to?
No, because we didn't have the proper media bands.
Oh.
So you had to have wristbands. You had to have certain wristbands to do a bunch of different things. And there were supposed to be like four or five, and I only got two. And I was one of the ones that only had two from our crew. So there was one wristband that was media. There was one wristband that was that allowed you to go up and down the stairs that went up into the artist room, which is also where we had our DIT set up to offload footage. There was another one that you needed to get onto the stage. And they weren't, I think it was Soma. Soma wasn't letting us go out onto the f***ing stage because it was a safety hazard. Guess what, dude? There weren't that many people there to begin with. And also, if it is a safety thing, don't have as many f***ing people on the stage. Because I saw the wings behind, like, where everyone was standing. There were so many people up there. There shouldn't have been that many people.
So they were, like, concerned about things that were just unnecessary when other things were happening. They're just giving you guys a hard time.
Yeah, if you know how to run a live event, like, you can get away with a few safety things. Like, it's not that big of a deal. So don't stress the small shit. But a lot of the footage looks really, really cool.
Nice. I'm excited to see it.
So Luke and Ryan and Cody and Jack all got to man. I'm pretty sure Jack did, but they all got to man the C300 on a shoulder rig. I was running around with my A7R2 the entire time, and we had a few other cameras just played out. And what was really cool for me was we brought the MixPre 3 and we plugged it in, or we were able to get an audio feed from the guy who was doing all the live audio mixing, and we were able to get that feed, and it sounds so nice.
Really?
If you guys get to ever use a MixPre 3, it's just a very nice piece of hardware.
What is it? What is a MixPre?
MixPre 3, or just the MixPre series, is it's a bunch of hardware that has, it's classified as an audio mixer. It's meant for field recording. Field recording is when you go out and literally mix on set, and what you can do with all that stuff is you can designate how loud someone is, how loud one of the inputs is, and they're called like MixPre 3, MixPre 6, based off of how many inputs are in them, and they range from 3 to 6 to 10, and so you can have up to 10 inputs. And it's just a really awesome piece of audio hardware. There is a analog to digital converter in there, and it uses something called an analog limiter, which that basically means if you're starting to clip on your audio, it'll catch the audio before it clips and distorts any of the data, and it'll bring it down. Whereas, like, if you have a digital converter in there, it's already f***ed up.
Which,
it's already,
like, messed up. It's so good when you're in field recording, because you never know what's going to happen. Yep. Like, I know Zoom just came out with their F6, which is a dual analog to digital converter.
And it's 32 float.
Yeah.
It records at 32-bit float, which is pretty high when we're talking about audio. But that's the MixPre series. They just came out with the two relatively recently. I think it was within this year. If you ever get the chance to use any of those are great.
Oh, yeah.
They're very durable. I haven't dropped one yet. They're really light. They're really compact.
No, like the little rings on it, they're for like belts. Like, you can hook, like, a belt through it.
No, that's for the F6, my friend.
No. And the MixPre. Like the little hooks on the side. There's also for the belts. Like, you can clip it to, like a harness.
Oh, that's such a
Oh, yeah, it's really bad. Nah. But at the same time, they're also designed to, like, protect the knobs and everything. Yeah. Like, the entire frame of it is, like, it's not aluminum. It's freaking steel. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's a freaking durable boy.
Anyway, the feed that I was getting from that, sometimes with live feed, it could be a little weird. It sounded super clean. Sounds super good. I gave it to my friend Jack, who worked on the set, because he really wanted it. He's like, I want this person's set so bad. Mm-hmm. And so I gave it to him, and he has been listening to it nonstop. And I showed it to Luke, and Luke's the main one that I care about, because he's the one that's actually editing this piece. And he really likes it too. Nice. Him and Cody both vibe out to it all the time. Nice. It just sounds so, so good. And I was surprised, because you don't typically get that good of a feed out of a mixer like that.
Yeah.
And because it's not meant for something like that. It is an audio interface, but it's not meant for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's called Future Standard. It should be coming out maybe within the next 2 months, something like that, from the time this is recorded. And today is October 15th.
Nice.
It was an interesting time. I worked, I think I was filming for like, I think I filmed for about 5 hours straight. Because there were seven artists, and some of them took an hour.
Quick question about Mix Pre 3.
What's up?
How many channels can it record to?
The Mix Pre 3?
Is it 3?
It records to 3. Oh, wait. No, that's how many inputs it takes.
Oh.
The amount of channels that you can have. So whenever you get a Mix Pre, it already has a left and right, which is the stereo. And then you can get a mono track with each of the inputs. So technically...
You okay then?
So technically, if I have all three microphones plugged in, or all three inputs plugged in, I can get 5. Mm-hmm. So it records a master track, which is the left and right stereo, and then 1 mono, 2 mono, 3 mono. And even then, you can change those to be stereo too, but it's compact into that one track.
Does it like distort the sound if you uncompact it? Like,
no.
Does it really change?
No, it's really hard to fuck up audio like that. It's not like a camera.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've been learning more and more recently. It's like, it's really, really hard to mess up audio in the ways that you mess up on a camera.
Yeah.
The hardware and the software is meant to actually work with you.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a camera, I feel like a camera, you have to control it a lot more.
Yeah, you have to understand the entire thing.
Nothing against cameras. I like cameras.
Yeah.
I geek out about them all the time.
Dude, some sound equipment, it's like crazy. I mean, like I was talking about the new F6. Like, there's no way to fuck up audio. Like, I mean, you really, really gotta fuck up the audio. Like, damage the hardware in order for it to not work. Like, you can scream the entire time and still be able to bring it back down in post, or like whisper and then still be able to bring it back up.
No, it's definitely a nifty piece of hardware. That's something that I would like to get my hands on at some point. It's either that or like maybe one of the Mix Pre's, because those are pretty versatile too.
Yeah.
Something to note though, on the Mix Pre, I'm not sure about the Mix Pre, on the Mix Pre 6 and the Mix Pre 10, I'm not sure about the 10, but on the 6, you actually only get 4 XLR inputs. And 2 3.5 millimeter inputs. 3.5 millimeter input, it's like a something like that.
It's like a regular headphone jack size, yeah.
And then XLR is a 3-pin.
Yeah.
It's 3 pins that look like a little triangle. You always put them in upside down, because I don't know why. Something that's interesting on the Sky panel. On the Sky panel, it uses XLR as a power input.
That's DMX.
Oh, it might be a DMX.
DMX, actually. Not
Because you have to plug it in from the ballast into the light. A ballast.
The...
Right? No, I'm not talking about that. There is a three pin on there. I think it is an XLR.
I thought XLR was only sound.
No, I mean like phantom power with microphones.
Oh, that's right. But something that big with phantom power. I mean,
if you're,
it is LED though.
But the thing is, the ballast is outputting it differently.
Oh.
The ballast supplies power to
the big lights.
I never touch
the light, so I never see it. But I mean, if that works, I mean, if that's what the case, that's insane. Like, doesn't draw, it barely draws any power. That's the thing. But the thing is, it still overheats. And still, like, there's
vents. Sky panel?
Yeah, the sky panel. It's like,
sky panel does get hot. Yeah. It gets exceptionally hot for being an LED. I think the problem with that is just because it has that ballast, it is throwing in a little bit more power. Mm-hmm. It's not like a 2K Lupo or something like that. Because 2K Lupos, they don't really get that warm, do they?
The Lupos? No.
At all.
No, at all. Like literally, at the second you finish shooting, you just turn it off and just pack it back into the box.
Those lights also aren't as strong though.
No, dude, Mole just came out. I don't know if you guys went to Mole Richardson. They came out with their own
LEDs.
I mean, they're big. They're like, no, it's not tungsten. It's they're like this big. They output up to 10K, and then they look so nice.
I'm gonna look that up real quick.
They use Fresnel lenses, Which, if you guys don't know what Fresnel lenses are, someone can describe it better than me.
A Fresnel lens is a type of lens that goes on a light. And if you look at it from the profile of it, it's got like a bunch of jags on it. And what that basically allows you to do is you can either focus the light more or you can bring it back. And it also adds a little bit of texture to your light. So it's not necessarily consistent the entire time. It'll
spread out more evenly too, or something.
It does spread out more evenly. So when you want to spot or flood the light, either make it like a spotlight, like really hot and tight, or you want to flood it out, make it really wide, like a wide.
Now, Mole Richardson was basically the pioneer for like film lights way back, like the studio era, like 1920s when they first started filmmaking, and they built all the lights that all of these films used. And then them switching to LEDs, that's such a big deal.
Because that's like huge.
A lot of people, like a lot of people in the film industry, even though LEDs are better, but they're more expensive, but they're more cost effective, if that makes sense. And
it's an expensive light.
Yeah. And the thing is, them switching to LEDs.
The new LED.
Dude, I talked to the guy at Mold Richardson. He said that he's not supposed to tell anyone the prices because they're just developing it and it's all prototypes, but they're looking at around like, was it like $6,000-$7,000 each, just for the light? Not
the 1600-watt light, which I can see is the most expensive one. $11,696.10 from Andromeda camera.
Yeah,
that's an expensive light.
And the thing is, it's just like the Lupos that you can. It's LEDs. You can change the color. So just like what Nolan was talking about, the sky panels, because they're LED, they have like preset settings for like lighting, but they're not just white and, you know, tungsten lights. Yeah, you can, like, when you switch it on to the police bar mode, it literally switches the light to red, yellow, and blue, and then it just flashes. Like, it's LED. There's so many things you can do with it, and LED is just insane.
Wait, can you change the color with the LEDs on these new molds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's literally like that's a touchscreen iPad. And then you literally just like drag it up and down. There's preset settings. It's crazy. There's an app for it too.
You know what would be sweet? There was like a built-in, you can't do this, but if there was like a built-in histogram on it, or like something that would like predetermine what would be on your histogram, that also depends on the camera that you have and the lighting situation.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't really
work. They do have presets. So they do have presets. So you can select what camera. I mean, you can't, it won't be like, oh, I have a Canon DSLR camera on there. No, it's like cine cameras. But you can literally set that you're using like a Arri Alexa mini camera on there, and it'll like and then what LUT and all of that, and then it'll predetermine what kind of light fits what, you know. But some DPs don't like that. Some DPs like to be stylistic with their own things, kind of.
I was about to burp and it just didn't come out.
That was very embarrassing, honestly. But yeah, so I mean, that's the new wave, I guess. They're just being more technological. It's just more expensive but more cost effective.
Yeah. Wow.
That was impressive.
I wasn't even close to the mic.
I know.
I'm heard
scared.
More power.
We're wrapping it up.
Yeah, so. it was kinda cut a little like we didn't fade out or anything like that, but we talked about a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to fit in there. And then the next time we record it's probably gonna be more.
There it is.
That's the outro. Goodbye.
That sounded like a dinosaur.
I'm going to use that.
Are we not going to harmonize?
Oh, yeah.
We don't harmonize at the end.
Yeah, what? Are you kidding me? Read a science book, stupid.
You idiot. What the f***?
Make sure you email us at realtoreal@gmail.com. One more time.
Email me pictures of your dog.
That's actually what we want. We don't really want
to. Yeah, we don't actually want questions. realtoreelask@gmail.com. Hopefully you know how to spell gmail.com.
/ we rule.
No, there's no backslash.
Okay.
Okay.
He's a gassy boy.
This is
I'm lactose
Eldon.
Intolerant, oh, and nope. I just had 3 slices
that's
of pizza.
That's lactose intolerant. I'm Eldon.
I'm Q.
I'm Nolan.
I'm lactose intolerant. Eduardo.
And this is Real to Real.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.